All right, good morning, everybody. Oh, good job, guys. Good job. Way to say good morning back. That's where you communicate. Good job. I like that. Way to speak back. Good job, guys. You're learning. So this morning we get to continue in our There's More series. All right, so if you've been with us for the past few weeks or so, you've been hearing this thing about the Big Give that we've been doing it. We've been calling it something pretty specific. We've been calling it our BHAG, right? So say it with me if you know what the BHAG is. Big, hairy, audacious goal is what we're calling that thing that we're doing, which it absolutely is. So I wanted to tell you guys like the halfway marks, like kind of where we are. We're halfway in between where we're going to end at, and we are already close to $2,000. Right, so you guys are awesome. I came in here the other day. Somebody had dropped like $200 in there. I don't know who it was, but somebody dropped $200 in there. I don't know who it was. Me and Justin were here meeting and talking, and so we were really amped up as we looked over. We're like, are those hundreds? Are those Benjamins in there? And indeed it was. All right, so whoever did it, God bless you. You're awesome. All right, so here's what we're doing when we're talking about the Big Give. Is we're trying to raise $5,000 in 5 weeks, right? And that's between us, right, and eKids, right, the children's ministry. We're making this combined effort to try to raise $5,000 in 5 weeks is what we're doing. So we're on our way, all right? And so it began a couple weeks ago, and the ending point is going to be May 6th. That's a Wednesday. So that's going to be the last day that you guys can give to what we're trying to do. All right, so May 6th is the last day. If you've been, excuse me, holding out, or if you've been, like, you know, praying and kind of seeing, like, where God was leading you to, that's going to be the last day because we want to present it on May 10th, which is Mother's Day. Right, so this is the day they're going to present it to the church in front of everybody, say, hey, we want to open to you guys to give, and guess what? Our youth ministry and our children's ministry have already given, right? And they've got this to lay before us, right? So it's going to be really good, right? It's probably going to cause a lot of adults in the room to be like, what? Right? Cause them want to give, right? Cause them want to give more. So it's a really awesome thing that we're doing. And just to even kind of continue talking about this whole thing, we're talking about there's more. So there's three things that we talked about, right? There's capacity, right? Connection and impact. My wife is so lovely. Thank you. She's awesome. She knows the deal. You guys keep praying for me that my allergies will go away. I hate them. All right, so we're talking about connection. Well, I mean, capacity. So that's us kind of growing. And we kind of showed the video last week of the church kind of expanding. So e-kids and pre-kids are going to kind of move to this side of the church. And they're going to, you know, be all the way out here. It's going to be really big, look awesome. And then on this side, they're going to make the fellowship hall even bigger. Right, so if we have like overflow for service, we can send them down there, or different events and things like that is going to be down there. Then our foyer is going to kind of come out this way. That's going to be larger. And then we also have a picture of our room, what's going to happen in our room. So we showed that to you guys last week. We'll show that picture for you again. So we're not expanding back here, right? We're not going to blow out the walls and go deeper back. But we are getting some stuff happening. So this stage right here, this little pointy stage, it's going to turn square. Like it's, you know, this is all concrete. And that's concrete in there. I don't know who put it. I don't know why it says it'd be concrete. Something about music, whatever. So they're going to knock that thing down, turn it into that thing. And that screen back there is going to be, that's pretty sick, right? It's going to be all the way across the back there. HD goodness, right? So we're going to get a paint and bathroom. So it's going to look really fresh back here. So we're getting a little piece of this too, all right? And something that we've been saying about there's more, like, and, you know, about giving and all those different things, and what we said from the beginning, that it's not about necessarily like the money that you give. Like, we're not focused on like the amount you're giving, and you know, we're not trying to force you to give, but we are talking about, man, like, this is a gift that you can lay before God. And what the scripture says, and we read it in Philippians 4:17, that it's, man, that we're not seeking the gift, right? We're not here like begging for the money, right? It's not the gift that we seek, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. The gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. All right, so that's Paul. He's speaking to the Philippians because what they enter into a giving and receiving with Paul. All right, so he's like, man, the things that you offer to me, man, I'm not just seeking the money. That's not what I'm after. But I'm after what's going to be credited to your account, right? Right, so what it looks like when you do give in such a way that it's pleasing to God, an acceptable offering to him, right, that we're kind of laying at his feet. So it's an awesome thing to give in such a way. And what we've also said is that, man, we can give because, what, this is going to be your church one day, right? This is going to be the church that we say this every week, that you're going to grow up in, right, that you're going to have all the relationships in, go through college in, that you're going to have kids in, right? That we've got Caleb and Sierra. They're kind of that living testimony, that story from the time they were little. Now, you know, they had a kid. They went through youth, and now they got this little baby. You know, like, it's just kind of full circle, and now their baby is down in the infant room, you know? So it's just kind of full circle for them. So, like, you would think that's far off for you guys, but, I mean, it's going to happen in your lives where, I mean, you really are building here at Hope. Like, this is going to be your church and your home. So you're not pouring into something that's not going to pour back into you, all right? So we say that. And also, even talking about, like, this there's more thing, the thing that was coming to my mind as we were kind of going through the week is that, man, when we're talking about good things, right, we always want more of a good thing, right? I don't think there's anybody in the room, like, if there was something good, like, you would turn it down if you could have more of it, right? It's like, man, if that's something that you really love, it could be your favorite thing, right? If somebody offered you more of that thing, you'd be like, yes, right? You'd be ready to take the step to get that thing, right? Even on Wednesday nights, we pass out snacks to you guys, and you always have people, like, kind of hovering around you like a shark, right? What are they waiting for? They're waiting for you to be like, is there more, right? They're waiting. Is there more of that? Right. So they're waiting because they're ready to get those seconds, right? So even on some snack stuff, like, man, if there's more, we're like, yes, I'll take more of that. All right, so let's just throw up a couple pictures, right? So if somebody offered you more money, right? More moolah, right? Everybody be like, give me some more of that, right? Anybody turning down money up in cheer, right? No, we be making it rain. Right? So, I mean, if somebody wanted to offer me more money, I'm going to take that money, right? I'm going to step into the vision of that person and receive that money. or even, like, our favorite holiday, I think, across the board, right? Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving, who loves a Thanksgiving? But wow, right? So, on Thanksgiving, that is the day about there is more, right? Right? You've had some turkey, you have stuffing, and then your mom's like, man, that pie is ready in the oven. You're like, there's more room left. Like, you're ready to make more room for what your mom's, you know. So even on Thanksgiving, even on holidays, like, we're like, man, there's more. There's more to be had. And if just even for you guys, yeah, love that. Even for you guys, like, so all you guys have cell phones and things like that. If your mom, or, like, if you got a PS3 and your mom was like, man, I'm going to get you a PS4, right? Or if your mom was like, man, I'm going to get you an iPhone 6, right? You know, and that one thing, you know, like, if somebody said, your parents were like, man, I'm going to upgrade you, right? There's more for that. Right, we will all probably be kind of making this face right here. We'd be really excited. We'll throw it up for you guys. This is kind of the reaction that we make when we find out that we can upgrade, right? Like, what? I'm getting a new phone. Oh, my gosh. What, a PS4? Right? See, you kind of get crazy, right? When that PS4 comes out on Christmas, you kind of get a little, you get amped up, right? So I don't think anybody in here will say, man, if there's more of a good thing, right, we're not going to be like, no, I don't want that, right? We're all going to be like, yes to that. Yes, if there's more of a good thing, I'll take it. So here's the truth that we'll say is that, right, that there's, if we all have a desire to have a good thing, and it's true about God is that God desires that we will have more of a good thing. So for us in the room, man, that God has a desire for us to have more of a good thing. Like, we all want more of a good thing, and that's God's desire that we would have more of a good thing as well. All right, so I just want to show you this quick clip. We watched the whole video last week, but I just want to show you, like, a minute clip of Pastor Gary just kind of talking again about, like, this there's more thing, because I think it's really good for you guys to hear his heart and his passion. All right, so just a little minute clip we'll just show really fast. All right?
Desire for us to press in for more.
When I look at the future that I believe the Lord has in mind for us as a congregation, I believe we're at a unique spot right now where the Lord is trying to launch us into the ultimate of that destiny. When I came here, the Lord spoke to my heart and said two very important things I'll never forget. Number one was that He had a pent-up desire to pour out His Spirit on this place because His name was here. And that makes a lot of sense to me, knowing what I know about the town now. For all these years, we have had a focus of really trying to invite the presence of God, trying to invite a move of the Spirit. That is our number one focus. And also the Lord said to me to build a church for people that had been beat up, burned out, hurt in life, and hurt in church. And so He's very interested in retrieving those people and bringing their story and bringing their testimony to a community to show what God can do to put lives back together again. So I feel that is a unique and powerful part of what we're called to do. It's a passion I have, and that restoration of lives is something that I will always be about, and this church will always be about.
We'll freeze Pastor Gary there in that awkward face. All right, so you hear his heart, and he says what? The first thing he says is that, man, that there's more for Springfield, basically is what he's saying, because what God has this pent-up desire, right, to pour out his spirit on Springfield because his name is here. So for us in Springfield, like, God is looking down and saying, like, man, I've got this deep desire to do something really specific in Springfield because my name is so known here. My name is known well here, and I've got this ready to release in me over Springfield, right? So there's more for us there. And it hasn't happened yet, but again, like you say, man, it's something that we've been praying for, preparing for, all right, for this community. And, like, man, hope's going to be, like, this strategic vessel for that to happen, for that to come about. Then the second thing he says is, man, like, God told him to build a church for those who were beat down, broken down, right? That people who needed to be restored, right? So there's more of them. So, like, and that's why we're trying to make room, again, for those people who are going to come in. For, you know, like Pastor Gary saying, you know, God's like, man, build this church for these people, and we want to make room even for them. Like, man, there's more for us to do. There's more families to restore, all right? So, again, just seeing Pastor Gary's heart, and, like, man, you're like, yeah, I can kind of come behind that. Because, like, man, it's not necessarily just Pastor Gary, but it's what, like, he's being obedient to what, like, God has put in him, right? So we said this last week because, man, there's so much that Hope does with the funds and everything that comes through. I mean, we touch so many lives in Springfield and, like, across the country. Like, man, you guys don't know, like, man, we bless so many people. We do such a great work with what we're given. Like, we're so responsible with what we're given. So, like, when you guys give, like, you're given to people who are in need, right? But, man, like, you're really pouring into lives, right? So we said this last week is that, man, there's more for us to do, right? There's more babies to be saved, right? Because we help with Pregnancy Care Center, right? Right. There's more orphans, right, that need our help, right? As we have orphanages around across the seas and even helping some here, right? There's more homeless to be sheltered, right? There's more souls for salvation, right? There's more families to be restored, like Pastor Gary was saying, right? And it's more of God for our city, right? So, man, that's something we can get behind, right? I think what's happening, like, when I give, like, this is what I'm giving to, and there's more. Even as we were kind of going through everything, and I was, like, thinking about, man, there's more. The scripture that came to mind when we're talking about, like, stepping into, like, greater things was John 14:12, all right? So we'll throw this up on the screen. This is Jesus talking. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. All right, so just even talking about, man, like, there's these greater things for us, right, that God, you know, Jesus said that we're going to do. Like, we're going to do what he did. And then there's greater things for us to do as well. So I'm like, man, I feel like the task that we're on right now, man, is a greater thing, right? Because, it, man, it's going beyond just me. Like, it's going beyond our city. Like, this is a thing that is going to affect eternity for so many lives, right? And I would say, man, like, that's a greater thing that I can get behind, right? So for us in the room, how are we going to do that, right? How are we going to pull that off, right? So Pastor Gary talked about something called a giving ladder, right, or a pathway or something like that. All right, so again, I just want us to take a look at what he says. Again, it's just like a minute clip that we'll look at this and hear what Pastor Gary's talking about in this giving ladder.
It's enough. And many times when we think we're doing what we can, God stretches us and invites us into an adventure with him that results in literally turning our fortunes around. So what I'm saying to us is this: wherever we're at in that process of learning to be generous with what God has given to us, it would be great for us to bump it up a notch. Let's say you've never given to the Ministries of Hope, and you've been blessed by it. Understandable. You know, that's the way many people come in. Why not try and do something? Why not try and give? Why not try and participate? Why not try and be part of that group of people that will get rewarded in eternity for what they've done here? The Bible tells us to exhort one another to love and to good works. And in both cases, giving of yourself and your resources is part of that equation. If you're already regular, why not be proportional? Why not say, you know, I'm going to give the first fruits of what I earn, the 10%, which is the Old Testament pattern. And why not just test God to see if he won't bless you and rebuke the devourer for your sake, as Malachi promises. And if you're already a regular giver, a proportional giver, why not think about extravagance? Why not just be one of those hilarious givers that finds ways to invest in the kingdom of God? It's the best investment that the world knows, because the benefit of it goes on forever. If you give a cup of cold water in the Lord's name, He's not going to forget it. The Bible promises us that. How much more if we give of resources that really stretch us? And as we move into this next season in our church life, it is going to be so exciting for you to say, I had a part in that. That you can tell your kids and your grandkids, Mom and I had a part of that. I had a part of that. And they're going to learn a lesson that they'll never forget. And there's going to be reward in eternity because of it. So God bless you as you pray that God would do this thing in such a way that it literally is a testimony to this congregation, to this city, and to your own heart. So thank you so much for what you do. We love you. We're looking forward to this season together. God bless.
Okay, so you heard Pastor Gary talking about this giving ladder, and he kind of worked himself up. So we're going to throw it up on the screen for you guys so you can see it. All right, so here's the giving ladder. So here's what he was talking about. So he's saying, like, all right, so maybe you're a first-time giver. Maybe you've never given before, right? So maybe it's your first time giving. Like, so that's where you are on a ladder, like your first time. And he says maybe you're an occasional giver. Like, I give, but it's not a consistent thing, right? So that's where you are on a ladder. Then if you're intentional, that means you're giving 10%, right? So you're doing that a regular thing. Then you're stepping back up, less than 10%. Then you step up to that, you're tithing, so you're faithfully giving on a regular basis. And then he says beyond that is being extravagant, right? Like he called it a hilarious giver. Like, you're just finding ways that you can pour into the kingdom of God. So that's that giving ladder. So that's true of us even as we stand here, like, you know, as we're just talking about, like, giving of our finances to Hope and what it's doing. So that's true of some of us where we stand in that. But what's also true of this giving ladder is that, that excuse me, that it just doesn't apply to just the finance part. It doesn't apply just to that, but it can also apply to, like, our lives. That this thing can apply even, like, we can look at this thing and say, man, like, where do I land on the giving ladder when it just comes to my life with Jesus? So here's what we're going to talk about today, because we know that, man, we're given to a specific thing, but we really want to look at, man, like, where do I land on this ladder when it comes to, man, me and Jesus, right? Am I first time? Am I occasional, right? Am I intentional? Am I regular? Am I extravagant, right? So here's your bottom line for today. Everybody should have a handout and a pen near them. Go ahead and grab that. Here's your bottom line for today. No matter where I am, there's more for me. No matter where I am, there's more for me. So even as we can kind of continue to even move on, we're talking about that ladder, right? So wherever you land at, right, there's always a step up that we can move up to. I mean, if I'm a first time, I can move up to being intentional. If I'm intentional, I can move up to being, you know, occasional. If I'm occasional, I can move up to being, you know, regular. If I'm regular, I can move up to being extravagant, right? So that's what that ladder's talking about. So it's kind of fun, like, man, where do I land on it? So here's the three parts that we'll look at for today when we're talking about that giving ladder. So here's what we'll say, that the ladder reflects all parts of our lives, but we'll focus on these three right here. We'll say this, is that, thanks for that. All right, so here's the three areas, like our time with God. So when we look at that ladder, right, so this first time is occasionally I do it, I'm intentional, I do it sometimes, then regular, man, I'm always spending time with God, and then extravagant, like, man, I'm going above and beyond, right? So we're talking about, like, spending time with God. The next one, like, serving others, like, man, where do I land at on that ladder? When we're talking about serving other people, serving my family, my parents, my siblings, right? And where do I land on that, man? Like, am I first time, I usually don't do it, or am I, you know, an occasional or intentional? So again, and then even looking at trying to reach for the lost, right? Where do I land on that ladder? We're talking about, like, man, reaching out for the lost, man. Do it my first time, or occasional, am I intentional, am I regular, right? Or am I extravagant? Am I going after it, right? So again, we'll throw this up so you guys can see it again. The first time, occasional, intentional, regular, and extravagant. It's the way it kind of rolls. So when you look at this ladder, right, the top one is extravagant. Right, so I don't think there's anybody who would walk into anything and be like, man, I don't want to be on the top, right? I'm cool with being on the bottom, right? I don't think we walk through life saying, like, man, I'm all right with being on the bottom. That's okay with me, right? And if we are, we shouldn't be there, right? I mean, we shouldn't want to be there. All right, so, excuse me. So here's what your first blank for today will be, right? First blank for today, I can be extravagant in everything. That I can be extravagant in everything, right? So we know that everybody isn't going to land on that mark on a ladder like right now. Again, doesn't matter where you are, like, there's more for you, right? But we're all trying to get what? To the top. Like, that's the place that we're trying to reach at, right? It's for that extravagance. We're talking about all parts of our lives. Okay. So, again, like, nobody has a desire to be the worst at what they're doing. Like, we've said this plenty of times, right? So for whatever you want to do in your life, I know some of you guys want to be doctors and some of you guys want to be basketball players and artists and singers and, you know, hold on, we got, you know, people who want to, like, design things, you know, like game-wise or, excuse me, online, all those different things. You know, I don't think anybody would step out into the world. It's like, my plan is to be the worst at doing that, right? Like, nobody steps out like that. Like, that's my plan, my goal in life. Is just, I just want to be on the bottom in whatever career I pick, right? So, again, man, we're always trying to, like, shoot for success, man. We're always trying to shoot for what's better. So, again, when we look at our life with Jesus, man, that we should be shooting for, like, what's best, like what God has for us, right? So excuse me. So here's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. This is what it says, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, right? So all the fullness of God. This is Paul praying for the Ephesians, man, that you will be filled with all the fullness of God. So all that to say, man, that there's a fullness of God, a fullness of Christ that's available to us, to all of us, right? I mean, even Paul says later, man, that you would grow up, right, into kind of mature, excuse me, into this fullness of Christ, right? I mean, he's like, man, that's available for you guys. I mean, it's open for each one of us to, excuse me, to live in such a way that we can live in the fullness of Christ. So we can say, man, that's the extravagant one. Get used to my coughing. Me coughing a lot, sorry. So it's like last week all over again. Lord help me. All right, so again, so there's this area that we can read this fullness of God. All right, so then he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, until we attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God from mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, right? Again, so we're just saying, man, that there's this measure that we can kind of come up to, that there's a fullness of Christ for us to reach. So we'll again say, man, that's like our extravagant place where we want to be at, right, in the fullness of Christ and living in this fullness of him. All right, so again, we talked about that ladder, and you're like, man, I might be on the bottom, right, or I might be, like, I'm not where I really want to be at when I kind of think about that. So here's your next blank, and here's the truth of everything, is that I can start where I am. I can start right where I am. Right, so if you looked at that and you were talking about, like, man, as Romy was talking about spending my life with Jesus, where I land on that ladder, man, I don't really want to say it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you can start right there where you are, right? Because once you take a step, like, you're already at the next level, right? So if you're like, man, I've never really read my Bible or pray, right? The next step you can take, right? It's like, man, well, I can be occasional about it, right? If you've been occasional, like, well, I can be intentional about it, right? If you've been intentional, you're like, well, man, I can be regular. So, like, there's one step that each one of us can take, no matter where we land at, right? It's going to move us up, right, into getting us closer to that place of excellence and extravagant where we want to be at, all right? So we can start where we are. So last week we talked about my man Gideon, right? So when the Lord found Gideon, right, he was down in that wine press hole. We showed you a picture of it. He's trying to make some bread, right, and he's doing it, like, in the worst place to do it. No wind to blow away the chaff, right? It's just a bad spot where he's at. All right, so here we'll just read that real fast, two verses, just to refresh. This is what it says in Judges 6. It says, one day the angel of God came and sat down under the oak of, Ophrah, that belonged to Joash the Abizurite, whose son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press out of the sight of the Midianites, right? He was not trying to let them steal his food. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor, right? O mighty warrior. Right, so when we looked at Gideon, and we all talked about his response last week. He was, like, not believing what this angel of the Lord was telling him. He was like, man, God is not with us. He's abandoned us, right? Like, where's his great works at? You know, like, and, you know, the angel kept responding to him, like, man, I'm sending you in the strength that you have. He's like, man, I'm the weakest of the weakest of the weak, right, in my tribe. I'm just the runt in my tribe. What am I going to do, right? He's like, and the angel responds again, like, man, I'm with you. Like, go, right? I got you. Right? So, again, we can try to, you know, like, look at where we are and, like, again, make up excuses. Like, I can't step forward, right? I can't step forward into that greatness thing that you're calling me to. Like, we can try to make up excuses for it. But, like, God looks at Gideon right where he's at, in the spot where he's at. He's not in the best spot, but he looks at him like, man, I'm calling out to where I see you, right? That mighty man, that mighty warrior, like, I see you there. So it doesn't matter, like, where we start at, right? And, like, God doesn't even acknowledge the fact that, like, where he's at. Like, he just points right to where he's going. Like, he's pointing to the place where he wants to lead Gideon, right? So we can say that again for us, that God is less concerned, right, about where we are right now, right? But he's more concerned about, like, where he wants to lead you, where he wants to take you, right? So, again, if you feel like, man, I'm not measuring up on that ladder, I don't want you to be discouraged, because, like, there's a place that God wants to take you, right? He wants to lead you to that place, and that's what he's more concerned about. Like, are we willing to take that step? Maybe we're willing to take two steps to get us to another, even like another place, right? Gideon had to keep taking steps all throughout that story, right? He had to tear down the idol, right? Then he had to call out the warriors, right? He had to call them, they had been hiding. He had to call them out, right? Then he had to be obedient and go around the camp and do what God had said. So, like, he's taking all these steps all throughout the story before he got to that victory, right? So even for us, man, like, again, we just want to take that step forward. Take that step forward wherever we're at, man. We just want to take one step and find out, like, where we are. And then, like, man, I'm ready to take the next one. I can move up. Right? It's just this continual thing that's happening in our lives. Right, so here's your next blank for today. Take one step forward. Don't look back. Take one step forward and don't look back. Okay, so it's really true of us that we can focus on our past, like even Gideon was, right, that we can focus on the things behind us, right, instead of where God is trying to lead us. Right, so for us, even as you guys look at that ladder, you're like, man, spending time with God, praying, reading my word, all those different things, like serving other people, man, reaching for the lost, like no matter where you are, like don't look back to where you've been. Right, so don't look back like, man, like, there was some struggle there, right? Again, man, don't look back to that, but look forward to where God is trying to lead you. Right, so that's what we want to say. I think we have, is that a picture that we need to throw up next, coming up next? Zach? Bam, so here's my little baby. That's my youngest one, right? She's, her name's Sammy. Right, oh, she looks so cute. She's just so happy running. All right, so here's my little girl. Now, when she was born, like, she's running around and keeping us going crazy right now, right? She's into everything, right? Love her. But when she was born, right, my expectation of her was not that she would do what? Just start running, right? Like, when she came out, I didn't put her down. I was like, let's go. Start doing some push-ups, right? Give me some squats. Let's go. I want to see you run. Expectation, like, I knew that she had to what? She had to take steps. She had to grow. Like, there was a process that had to happen for her and be as crazy as she is now. Right? So I'm saying, like, the same thing with God, man, is like, like, he knows where we are, and he's not expecting you, right? And sometimes we put that on ourselves, like, man, God is expecting me to be a prophet by tomorrow, right? Like, you know, like, but that's not true. Like, that's why he says, like, it's fruit, right? It's a fruit thing. Like, fruit doesn't come overnight. Like, there's a process that happens, and it grows and everything. But, of course, like, within that process, it's us taking what? We're taking steps forward and not going backwards, right? So, again, like, my expectation for my little girl was not when she was born, for her to just start running. But again, it was just a process that happened in her life, right, to get to where she is now, which is so cute and beautiful. I love her. She's got me wrapped around her finger, if you can't tell. All right, so just, again, even just to bring it back to our bottom line, right, today, is, man, that no matter where I am, right, there's more for me. So no matter where you find yourself at today, man, like, there's more for you. All right, so again, like, just bring it back again. And if you're first time, like, if you're like, man, I'm just kind of at the beginning of this process. Like, and even in this walk with Jesus, like, I don't even know how to, like, read or pray, right? I mean, we can help you with that, right? If you feel like you're at the beginning, like, that's okay. Like, no matter where you find yourself on this ladder, in your life, man. It's okay because, like, there's more for each one of us. All right, so I want you to grab your Bibles and turn with me to page 841. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. Page 841. So it's our man Paul again, speaking to the Philippians. So if you're there, let me hear you say, yeah, yeah. We got one person there. That's good. All right, so we're going to start on verse 10, go down to 14. All right. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings and becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All right, so we'll stop right there. All right, so we have our man Paul talking to the Philippians, and he gives these few lines, and I mean, I just absolutely love him, right, because he's talking about pressing forward to the goal, right? So there's this goal. He's like, man, and he even says, like, I haven't obtained it yet, right, but I'm still going to press forward to what God is calling to me, like this fullness that we talked about earlier, right? So he's on his own giving ladder. Like, he's on his own ladder. He's in his own walk, and he's like, man, I've got this end goal, right, that I see. I'm not there yet, but, man, that's the way that I'm pressing for. Like, I'm taking steps that way. So, like, here's verse 12. He says this, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, right, but I press on and make it my own because what? Christ Jesus has made me his own. I love that last line where he says, man, because Christ has made me his own, like, I want to make that thing my own. Right, so again, man, like, think about what Jesus has done for us, right, to bring us into the fold again, right, to make us his own again. Right, so again, when you think about that, man, it causes me to want to press on, like, to want to continue on. When I think about the cross, like, man, I want to press on into that goal because of what he's done. Like, he's made a way for me even to press on. Like, he's made me his own, so I want to make this my own. And then in verse 13 and 14, he says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, and here's a line that we can hang on to, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Again, so man, like, again, forgetting about, like, what was past, forgetting about, like, what we couldn't do last week, forgetting about all those things, and, like, stepping forward to what God has for us. Like, man, I'm going to forget about what was behind, and I'm going to press on to what lies ahead, right? I'm pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Right, so we don't focus on, like, the backward stuff, right? Like this one person said, like, you don't, when you're driving forward, you don't look at the rearview mirror when you're driving, right? You look out what's in front of you. So the same thing for us, man. I'm not going to focus on my past because if I do that, it's going to cause me to what? Want to freeze. It's going to cause me to fear. It's going to cause me to be like, I'm going to mess up if I take this step, right? What happens if I take a step back? Like, you know, you're going to start keeping yourself in the same place if we begin to look back, right? So let's even look at my man Paul, right? Paul was a murderer of the church, right? I mean, he was a murderer of the church. But when he died, right, he died as a martyr for the church, for Jesus, right? So you look at just how God flipped his life. Like, he started in one place, right? I mean, anybody here was a murderer of the church? I mean, I don't think anybody was. Don't put your hand down. I think anybody's done any murdering in here, maybe of bugs, but not of human beings, right? So, again, look how, I mean, how Paul started. Like, man, and God found him right where he was, right? He continued to press on in his life until he did the ultimate thing, like the ultimate, you know, thing, saying he, like, man, he was loyal to the cause, that he gave his life for the church. So we could again say, man, no matter where I am, right, nobody's a murderer of the church, but we can say, no matter where I am, right, there's more for me. No matter where we land at, there's more for me. So Zach's going to pump that twice for me. So here's where, how we end today as Nathaniel gets ready to, he walked out. The thing is going to get ready to come up. There he is. And play his heart out, which he does every week. It's so awesome. But here's, I just want to read you guys this last one. This is Paul speaking again. He just says, but whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, as garbage, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Right, so again, Paul's saying, like, and he had a lot of things that he could, like, kind of hold on to that were great things. He's like, man, I count them all as rubbish because I want to press on to know Jesus. Right, so again, for us, like, the last thing I'll say is that, man, if we're not to hold on to things that are going to keep us from going forward, right? So, I mean, Paul had all these great things that he could have held on to, but he let them go so that he can press forward to the goal of knowing Jesus. So for us, man, we have to make sure that we don't hold on to things in our lives that cause us to stand still, right? To stay where we are, right? And let go of all the things that are holding us back, call them garbage, right? Like how Paul did, and move forward, right? Taking that step forward. That's all it is. It's just one step. Like how Justin said one time, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? Again, how do you walk this life with Jesus? Man, it's one step at a time. It's one step. Okay, so let's get ready to stand up and worship together. And like as always, we have a few responses for you guys. The first one is that you need to pray for your pastor. You got to do that. Lift me up, please. All right, that this cough will go away. It's been sticking around for weeks. All right, so here we are. So the first thing we'll say today, if you feel like after today, like, man, I haven't even really had a first time with Jesus at all. Like, there hasn't been a first time moment with him. Like, man, we want to pray with you. If you wanted to give your life to Jesus, make him your Savior, man, we want to pray with you. Then the second thing, if you say, man, there are things that are holding me back, right? And I don't want them things to hold me back any longer. Right, that I want to step forward without being held in place. Right, again, we want to pray for you. Then the second one, the third one is if you would say, man, I know where God wants me to be. Excuse me. I know God knows where I am. Right, so God's aware of where you are, right, wherever you are, in your walk with him. Right, but you say, man, I'm ready, right, to take the step forward on that ladder. I'm ready to take the next step up. And the last one, which has been the same this whole time, is just giving a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And that we want to lay before him our gifts, right? Because we're grateful to receive from the church. So now we want to give back. All right, so with every head bowed, with every eye closed, every student with their eye closed, we're just going to walk through these. And if that's you, we just want to raise your hand and we want to pray with you. So if you would say, man, Pastor Romeo, I want to have a first time with Jesus, right, that I want to make him my Savior. If you would say that's me, man, we want to pray with you. We would love to. Just raise your hand. Okay, next one. If you would say, there are things that are holding me back from stepping forward with God, I know what they are, man, and I want prayer to get rid of these things that are holding me back. If you would say that's me, man, boldly raise your hand up. We want to pray with you. Okay, third one. If you say, I know God knows where I am, and I'm ready to take the next step forward. If you would say that's me, raise your hand. And again, we want to pray with you. Okay, so as we go into worship today, again, I'm going to ask, man, that you get space between you and your friend or you and the person next to you, and really let this be a time of focus and of worship. So let's pray together as we get ready to enter in.